Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, hey, what's going on? Oh, just another day here on the Rant. I'm Jeff. It's Tuesday, October 15th. Nothing happening in the world of the NFL, right? Nothing. It's just week 7. Just a casual day in the neighborhood. Yeah, Davante Adams got traded. I'm going to talk about it. I can't contain myself here. I'm very excited about this. We'll unpack it all for you here. I'm also going to break down the top 10 waiver ads and a few quick notes on injuries, but got to zip through the pod today. So let's get right into it. I mean, big takeaways from last night's action. A lot of the Jet stuff I'm going to get into in a moment, so I'm not going to talk about them here. But Josh Allen, not a bad game. Top 5 week, bounce back. Even in like a sluggish game, bounce back. And even in a game where Khalil Shakir barely plays. And I don't know if that was due to injury, by the way, because Shakir doesn't play in two wide receiver sets. Mac Hollins does. Mac Hollins played more than Shakir did. And I saw a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of two tight end sets out of the Bills last night. So just maybe a little bit of word of caution. I keep throwing this out there regarding Khalil Shakir. Obviously, Ray Davis is the talk of the town. If you're going to chase that, that's great. But guess what? He's not playing in a situation, even like Bucky Irving and Sean Tucker, where the lead back isn't playing particularly well. James Cook's playing good football. He just was banged up for this one. So you're really only going after implied value with Ray Davis. Not a bad game out of Dalton Kincaid, by the way, too. Played really tough in that one, too. That's what I like about Dalton Kincaid. All right, so let's talk about Davante Adams. So he is going to the Jets. Not the Saints, not the Bills, not the Chiefs, none of those teams. No, he's going to the team he should go to. Why is this good? Well, I mean, first and foremost, this is just one of those things that shows us why the NFL is freaking awesome. Like, must-see TV. This is a soap opera. Who needs professional wrestling? Who needs Real Housewives when we have the NFL? He's going there, reunited with a quarterback who he obviously had a little bit of a thing with there in their time in Green Bay, really setting up the, you know, setting the stage for Davante Adams to be a future Hall of Famer. So you have a Hall of Famer and a Hall of Famer, basically, now for the Jets. That's pretty good. Adams is back into wide receiver one territory, and he will step into the lead role. Now, I know people are going to panic over Garrett Wilson. I actually do not think there is reason to panic here. Garrett Wilson, for example, this week. Now, I do suspect they're probably going to have a little bit for Adams this week. I do suspect that hamstring is going to be all of a sudden feeling so much better after his red eye flight to the Jets this morning to get his his medicals done. But I don't think he'll be fully integrated yet. However, I don't think that's going to take long. So this week, well, guess who you're facing? The Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Joey Porter ordinarily would shadow Garrett Wilson. If Adams is out there, Joey Porter is going to be on Adams. Now, again, may not be out there the whole game, but this is what we're building towards. So as opposed to having to face Joey Porter or whoever the number one corner is, if it's a shadow situation, which is basically what Wilson is going up against all season long. It's anytime they know, like, that's the guy Rodgers wants to throw to. Well, now you don't have the guy, you have two the guys. And so, like, this week, who would you rather face, Joey Porter or Dante Jackson? Not to knock Dante Jackson, you know, but obviously I want to go up against Dante Jackson. Or, you know, in the case of Denver, do I want to go up against Pat Surtain or Riley Moss? Well, I mean, duh, I want to go up against Riley Moss, and not a knock on Riley Moss. I think Riley Moss is going to be a pretty good pro here. But duh, I mean, come on. So this is actually good for Garrett Wilson. It's good for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is in the Superflex conversation now. Garrett Wilson remains in that wide receiver two. Like, I'm viewing him as like a slightly higher ceiling version of Devontae Smith, who already has a high ceiling. Now, maybe a little bit more volatility, but not bad at all. The loser here, other than the Raiders, sorry, Raiders fans, and yeah, Brock Bowers is going to be fine, but I don't know if anybody else will be. Jacoby Myers, when he's back, is a wide receiver three. But the biggest loser here is Alan Lazard. I mean, he caught that amazing Hail Mary. He has been a big factor here for Rodgers, but you know, there's two things. Like, he has the experience with Rodgers, which helps. And he also has been benefiting because the coverage goes towards Garrett Wilson. Not going to have that anymore, you know, in general. But, you know, obviously Lazard's more of a number three now for that team. Good for Rodgers, not necessarily good for fantasy. And I think Breece just keeps rolling. So this is awesome. This is tremendous. And no, Garrett Wilson is not somebody I'm moving on from. Now, I know some people may have both. The way that drafting worked out this year, there's a very real scenario if you were in that back end of the first round that you ended up getting both of those guys. It's not optimal, but this, you know, people often say to me, well, what about negative correlation? Yes, negative correlation is a drafting thing. It is something that I'll try and avoid if I can in waivers, but sometimes you can't. But it's a drafting thing that I will do my best to avoid. Now, here, it's not really your fault. As Robin Williams told Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault. And you kind of have this situation now where you have them both. And I think it's not a good idea to get out ahead of yourself and try and trade one of them away. Because what if you choose unwisely? Or what if they both just produce like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith? What if we have that? Then, you know, you're in a good situation. And honestly, Rodgers almost threw for 300 yards. The offense looked better this week than it did with Nathaniel Hackett calling the shots. I don't think it's the worst idea to keep both of them. I really don't. So that's where we are. Of course, we'll update this more as we get more information. A few quick things. So we'll keep an eye on Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Neither was practicing yesterday. I don't have a practice report today. Olave seems unlikely, but who knows about Shaheed? Jordan Mason participating, even though it isn't an official practice, I think he's going to be good to go. I wouldn't go too overboard with Isaac Arendo on waivers. Let somebody else do that. Aaron Jones, light work, so we don't quite know where he is yet. He was called week to week before their bye, but that doesn't mean he can't play this week. So be careful with Ty Chandler. I'm going to talk about him in a minute, though. ETN week to week, so I would not expect ETN out there this week. I'm going to talk about that when I get to waivers here. Let's see, Jerome Ford, week to week. Nick Chubb should be back this week. Tajay Spears, week to week, so that's good for Tony Pollard. Nice matchup for him this week as well. Kendre Miller, he should be back and ready to go this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded. I'm not adding Kendre Miller. The window is open for Jonathan Brooks, but Chuba Hubbard is clearly in the lead. Cooper Kupp could play this week. That would be nice. I would take that. TJ Hockenson should play this week. We'll see. Looks like Anthony Richardson will be the starter this week if everything goes as planned. And how about this? I thought I told you. Russell Wilson taking first team reps in line to start this week. Yep. Justin Fields better for fantasy than he is for real football. You know, hopefully you were able to move on from him at some point. But if not, yeah, it does look like it'll be Russell Wilson. If anything, I think Russell Wilson's going to be good for George Pickens, by the way. All right, let's dive into the top 10 waiver wire ads for this week, week 7, baby. If you want the entire tool, the waiver wire tool is up over at ftnfantasy.com. I start populating it on Wednesdays in the morning. So usually around noon, I get that first batch out. It's about 30 or so players when I start, but I'm adding to it throughout the day and then changing things around based on information. So for example, I had to, you know, move a couple players up, move a couple players down yesterday during the course of the day as we got more information. That's what happens. And I think that's a good thing, right? Evolution is a good thing. Added some players in today, add fab money percentages and defenses and all of that. So right now we have 48 options. So you get the top 10 on the podcast every week. We're starting with Tyrone Tracy. I am going 10 to 20%. I'm not going overboard here because he is not the starter as of right now. Devin Singletary, when he comes back, will still be the lead, but I don't think he's going to hold it for long. Tracy popped in back-to-back games. Now, he's not electric as a runner, but he's more than good enough there. But he just adds such, he's so much more complete than Devin Singletary. He's bigger than Devin Singletary. I mean, it's just all around, seems like a no-brainer. And this is the time of year when these rookies start to emerge, by the way. Year in and year out, we see rookies November, December, running back emerge and end up being big fantasy factors. So I'm picking up Tyrone Tracy, not necessarily with the idea that I'm starting him this week, but with the idea that the cream rises, and I think he is a better option than Singletary. Juju Smith-Schuster, 10 to 20%. I have no idea how he's out there in 82% of ESPN leagues. Too many people do that stupid thing where you just sort by projected points and then you make your waiver ads based on that. Like, I can't tell you how many Ernest Johnson questions I'm getting because I guess ESPN hasn't projected out fairly well. Like, no, deeper, but don't just sort by projections. Like, there's more to it than that. And that's why I love the waiver wire tool, because you get the rankings, you get the order, you know what order I prefer them in, and you can move them around if you don't prefer them in that order. But Juju shouldn't be out there. You know, he's the top pass-catching wide receiver for this team. And maybe they trade for somebody like Mike Williams. Who knows what happens from here? But at least in the short term, he's in the Rashee Rice role, and not an automatic start, but definitely should be on rosters. Tank Bigsby, 10 to 20%. He shouldn't be out there in 56% of ESPN leagues, but he is. Etienne's going to miss some time. Bigsby is the lead, although D'Ernest Johnson's going to be used. Let's be really clear about that. So I would view Bigsby tentatively as an RB2 in the short term. Josh Downs, 7 to 15%. He's available in over 50% of leagues. And that's across ESPN and Yahoo. I don't know why. I mean, the outlook isn't as good with Richardson under center, but it's still not bad. He should be rostered. Ty Chandler, 7 to 15%. We don't know if Aaron Jones is going to play yet, so maybe that's a little aggressive on the bid. I may move this if we get more information through the day. So it's always wise to check back at ftnfantasy.com when you're doing your waiver claims tonight. You know, don't just take this podcast and think that this is exactly what it's going to be tonight. But as of right now, if he's in line, if you get a spot start out of Ty Chandler and then maybe some implied value behind a veteran running back, it's not a bad thing. Tyler Allgeier, 7 to 15%. It's a timeshare, but let's be clear. This was the only big game Allgeier had. I keep having people say, oh, well, you know, I don't like the usage. Well, it was one game. It was one game. Robinson is still the clear lead back. They used them both. They both went off. There's more meat on the bone than you know, in places like New York with the Giants, right, where you could sustain two running backs here in this offense. And I can't blame them for using Allgeier. I can't blame them, you know. But be careful. Like, so many people just think last week is the only thing that matters. And it does matter, but it's not the only thing that matters. We have to look at the larger body of work. Jared Goff, I'll go 7 to 15%. He's been near perfect over the last 2 weeks, widely available on ESPN. He looks to be a fringe quarterback one, back end quarterback one, week in and week out. And that means that he is a solid quarterback one during the bye weeks. So don't mind that whatsoever. Caleb Williams, only 5 to 10%. I'm bumping down a little bit on him from Jared Goff, only because he's going into bye this week. So it'd have to be one of those situations, like if I'm streaming a quarterback, I know that Caleb Williams isn't going to get hurt on his bye week. So whoever my streamer is this week, I'll pick up Caleb. And then next week, I'll drop the streamer from this week, right? It's the guys, when you pick up a guy who's playing this week, when you're trying to get ahead for next week, that's where you can run into problems, because obviously players can get hurt. But Caleb Williams, I don't mind him whatsoever going forward as a fringe QB1 with the ceiling that he has offered. DeMario Pop Douglas, 5 to 10% as well on him. So 9 targets with Drake May under center, trending up. I think Drake May is going to help things out majorly for this offense. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but in fact, they're probably going to be from behind a lot. But if anything, that's very, very good for Drake May and the passing game, because they're going to throw a bunch. Finally, Cole Kmet. I'll go 5 to 10%. I'd be a little bit careful, though, on Cole Kmet, just because, I mean, hey, it's tight end merry-go-round. He's been top five twice in the last month, but the other two games, 19th, 21st. So we know a lot of people chase last week's number as a tight end. That could be the case here with Cole Kmet. And then also it's another one like where, okay, if you're streaming this week, not a bad idea to, like, if you have enough bench spots, that is, to grab him for your streamer next week, because he's not going to get hurt this week. But that's really the only scenario where I'm doing it. I don't think that Cole Kmet is an option, as some people like to say, rest of season. Like, rest of season is a really problematic way of viewing things, because I don't know what's going to happen rest of season. Like, if you said, would you start Lamar rest of season? Yes, duh. But in a lot of these instances, like Cole Kmet, no. Like, he's not a rest of season option. He's a right now option. And he could become a long-term option, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, same thing with Caleb. he's a right now option. Like when they come back from bye, he's going to be very likely in the streamer conversation or back end quarterback one conversation. Let me see who they have here too, just to be safe. Cause if they run into like a buzzsaw of a matchup, then maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. But when they come back from bye, okay, it's Washington. So duh. Yeah, he's going to be a quarterback one. That's another reason to get out ahead on Caleb Williams. But then, you know, what happens from there, right? And the same thing with Cole Kmet. So that's why I have those guys on the list. I do have in the waiver tool, Sean Tucker, Isaac Arendo, etc. You notice they are not in the top 10. They are not in the top 10 for a reason, because yes, both of them performed well this past week, but they are far from locks for fantasy purposes. So just be careful when you're dealing with implied value running backs. All right, so a quick one today. The big news obviously was Davante Adams. I'm excited for it. Gotta love must-see TV here, no doubt about it. If Adams, somebody asked me, well, how much would you spend on Adams? I'd probably be in like the 30% range on Adams. I'm not spending all my fab on him. Don't think he's like, you know, you'd have to be a league winner to spend all your fab. I'm not there on him, but I do think he is definitely worth spending a good chunk. Like that's like a third of your fab. That's a lot of dough to spend on a guy. So like in that 30% range seems about fair. If you want to go a little higher, I could see it, but I'm not doing 50 to 100. It's just not where I am. And remember, anybody who is widely rostered but is available in your league, just go to the tool, find the position that guy plays for or plays at, so running back or wide receiver or whatever, and then find the highest bid recommendation. And that's usually the range where I would go for those guys if they should, in fact, be rostered. So like 20% at running back, 20% at wideout, maybe 15% at quarterback, maybe 10% at the most at tight end, like Hockenson, for example. And even there, I'm not going to go too overboard. All right, that does it for today. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Tomorrow, I'll be on the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast feed. So check that one out, and then I'll be back on this feed on Thursday. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.